I'm at the foot of the ladder. The lamb footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches, although the surface appears to be very, very fine-grained as you get close to it. It's almost like a powder. Ground mass is very fine. Yeah, I'm going to step off the lamb now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. The surface is fine and powdery. I can pick it up loosely with my toe. It does adhere into fine layers, like powdered charcoal, to the sole and sides of my boots.
The time on Earth, 10:56 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, July 20th, 1969. A man has stepped on the surface of the moon. Neil Armstrong, an American, looking cumbersome in a white spacesuit, but moving easily and gracefully in the 1/6 gravity of the moon. The world watches and listens on live television, and in a little while, the second man to walk on the moon, Edwin Aldrin, comes down Eagle's Ladder.
Be sure not to lock it on my way up.
Quickly, good thought.
That's our home for the next couple of hours. We want to take good care of it. Okay, I'm on the top step, and I can look down over the RCU and landing gear pad. It's a very simple matter to hop down from one step to the next.
Yes, I found it to be very comfortable, and walking is also very comfortable. You've got 3 more steps and then a long one.
Okay, I'm going to leave that 1 foot up there and both hands down to about the 4th rung up.
There you go.
Okay, now I think I'll do the same.
2 more. About another inch. There, you got it?
That's a good step.
Yep. About a 3-footer.
Beautiful view.
Isn't that something? Magnificent sight out here.
Magnificent desolation.
2 hours and 31 minutes will pass before the two men are back in their spaceship. And in that time, they will have a full schedule of work. Astronaut Armstrong uncovers a plaque on the lamb to mark this most historic of all moments.
For those who haven't read the plaque, we'll read the plaque that's on the front landing gear of this lamb. There's 2 hemispheres, one showing each of the 2 hemispheres of Earth. Underneath it says, "Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon." 1969 AD. It came in peace for all mankind. It has the crew members' signatures and the signature of the President of the United States.
The President of the United States himself reached out across the Gulf of Space to speak not only for himself, but all the world.
All right, plug something. I think we need a more serious critique of Stanley Kubrick's The 2001. You know, I think he's taken ownership of what it means to be a human being, and he's owned that image, so.
This is Parker Corey from Engine Reserve, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Roger, we'd like to get both of you in the field of view of the camera from us. Neil and Buzz, the President of the United States is in his office now and would like to say a few words to you. Over.
Would be an honor.
Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made. I just can't tell you how proud we all are of what you... For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives. And for people all over the world, I am sure they too join with the American in recognizing what an immense feat this is. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world. And as you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility, it inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to Earth. For one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this Earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done, and one in our prayers that you will return safely to Earth.
Hey, Mr. President, it's a great honor and privilege for us to be here representing not only the United States, but and a peace of all nations, and with interest and a curiosity and with a vision for the future. Honor for us to be able to participate here today.
And thank you very much, and I look forward, all of us look forward to seeing you on the Hornet on Thursday.
Look forward to that very much, sir.
But before that rendezvous back on Earth, Armstrong and Aldrin had more work to do, collecting samples of rock and soil from the moon, pictures to take, and the takeoff from the moon's surface.
Tranquility Base, Houston. Roger, go ahead.
Roger, our guidance recommendation is pings, and you're cleared for takeoff.
Roger, understand. We're number one on the runway.
Roger.
For the first time, a spacecraft takes off from the moon.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Work stage, engine arm ascent. Proceed. Shadow, beautiful. 26, 36 feet per second up. 5, for the pitch over. Very smooth.
Off the moon's surface, Eagle looks for and finds Columbia, the command ship with astronaut Collins waiting to link up with Eagle, then swinging behind the moon again to fire their engine for TEI, trans-Earth injection, heading home.
Hello, Apollo 11, Houston, how did it go, over? Let's open up the LRL doors, Charlie. Roger, we got you coming home. It's well stocked.
In the language of the astronauts, LRL means the Lunar Receiving Laboratory, where they and their moon samples will be in quarantine for a time after their return to Earth. And as they sped back to their home, each of the astronauts summed up what this adventure meant.
This is the commander of Apollo 11. 100 years ago, Jules Verne wrote a book about a voyage to the moon. His spaceship, Columbia, took off from Florida, landed in the Pacific Ocean after completing a trip to the moon. Seems appropriate to us to share with you some.
They're so close.
What's up, Flip?
What's up,
dude? What's up?
I'm just wondering
why you guys are standing.
Are you all right being recorded?
Yeah, sure, bro.
Okay. You want a munchkin?
Sure.
Here, go for it.
He's a munchkin.
What?
I'm from California, bro.
Donut holes from Dunkin' Donuts? Come on.
Why the f*** are you guys sitting here like a panel?
So I'm recording this podcast. I'm going to play it on WMFO.
What do you guys... What's the angle?
To the moon may have looked to you simple or easy. I'd like to assure you that that has not been the case. The Saturn V rocket, which put us into orbit, is an incredibly complicated piece of machinery, every piece of which works flawlessly. This computer up above my head has a 38,000 word vocabulary, each word of which has been very carefully chosen to be of the utmost value to us, the crew. This switch, which I have in my hand now, has over 300 counterparts in the command module alone, this one single switch design. In addition to that, there are myriads of circuit breakers, levers, rods, and other associated controls. The SPS engine, our large rocket engine on the aft end of our service module, must have performed flawlessly or we would have been stranded in lunar orbit. The parachutes up above my head must work perfectly tomorrow or we will plummet into the ocean. We have always had confidence that all this equipment will work and work properly, and we continue to have confidence that it will do so for the remainder of the flight. All this is possible only through the blood, sweat, and tears of a number of people. First, the American workmen who put these pieces of machinery together at the factory. Second, the painstaking work done by the various test teams during the assembly and the retest after assembly. Finally, the people at the Manned Spacecraft Center, both in management, in mission planning, in flight control, and last but not least, in crew training. This operation is somewhat like the periscope of a submarine. All you see is the three of us, but beneath the surface are thousands and thousands of others. To all those, I would like to say thank you very much.
11, this is Houston. We're getting a good picture of Buzz now, but no voice modulation. And would you open up the f-stop on the TV camera? Try 22, please. Appears to be a lot better now. We're still not receiving Buzz's audio.
Good evening. I'd like to discuss with you a few of the more symbolic aspects of the flight of our mission Apollo 11. As we've been discussing the events that have taken place in the past 2 or 3 days here on board our spacecraft, we've come to the conclusion that this has been far more than three men on a voyage to the moon. More still than the efforts of our government and industry team. More even than the efforts of one nation. We feel that this stands as a symbol of the insatiable curiosity of all mankind to explore the unknown. Neil's statement the other day upon first setting foot on the surface of the moon, "This is a small step for a man, but a great leap for mankind," I believe sums up these feelings very nicely. We accepted the challenge of going to the moon, the acceptance of this challenge was inevitable. The relative ease with which we carried out our mission, I believe, is a tribute to the timeliness of that acceptance. Today, I feel we're fully capable of accepting expanded roles in the exploration of space. In retrospect, we have all been particularly pleased
with the call signs that we very laboriously chose for our spacecraft, Columbia and Eagle. We've been particularly pleased with the emblem of our flight, depicting the U.S. Eagle, bringing the universal symbol of peace from the Earth, from the planet Earth, the moon, that symbol being the olive branch. With our overall crew choice to deposit a replica of this symbol on the moon. Recently, in reflecting the events of the past several days, a verse in the Psalms comes to mind to me. I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Responsibility for this flight lies first with history and with the giants of science who have preceded this effort. Next to the American people who have through their will indicated their desire. Next to four administrations, their congresses for implementing that will. And then to the agency and industry team that built our spacecraft. The Saturn, the Columbia, the Eagle, and the little EMU, the spacesuit and backpack that was our small spacecraft out on the lunar surface. I'd like to give a special thanks to all those Americans who built those spacecraft. Did the construction, design, the test, and put their heart, all their abilities into those craft. To those people, tonight we give a special thank you. And to all the other people that are listening and watching tonight, good night from Apollo 11.
Thursday, July 24th, 1969. Splashdown in the Pacific. And although they were shielded and quarantined, a welcome for the Apollo 11 crew aboard the recovery ship Hornet by Richard M. Nixon, President of the United States.
Neil, Buzz, and Mike, I want you to know that I think I'm the luckiest man in the world. And I say this not only because I have the honor to be President of the United States, but particularly because I have the privilege of speaking for so many and welcoming you back to Earth. I can tell you about all the messages we've received in Washington. Over 100 foreign governments, emperors and presidents and prime ministers and kings have sent the most warm messages that we've ever received. They represent over 2 billion people on this earth, all of them who have had the opportunity through television to see what you have done. And then I also bring you messages from members of the cabinet, members of the Senate, and members of the House and the Space Agency, from the streets of San Francisco, where people stopped me a few days ago, and you all love that city, I know as I do. But most important, I had a telephone call yesterday. The toll wasn't incidentally as great as the one I made to you fellows on the moon. I made that collective today, in case you didn't know. But I called three of the greatest ladies and most courageous ladies in the whole world today, your wives. And from Dan and Joan and Pat, I bring their love and their congratulations. We think it's just wonderful that they could have participated at least through television in this return. We're only sorry they couldn't be here. And also, I've got to let you in a little secret. I made a date with them. I invited them to dinner on the 13th of August, right after you come out of quarantine. It will be a state dinner held in Los Angeles. The governors of all the 50 states will be there, the ambassadors, others from around the world and in America. and they told me that you would come too. And all I want to know, will you come? We want to honor you then.
I'll do anything you say, President.
One question I think that all of us would like to ask, as we saw you bouncing around in that boat out there, I wonder if that wasn't the hardest part of the journey. Was that the only, did any of you get seasick?
No, we didn't, and it was one of the harder parts, but it was one of the most pleasant, we can assure you.
Yeah. Well, I just know that you can sense what we all sense. When you get back now, you've been able to follow some of the things that happened when you've gone. Did you know about the All-Star Game?
Yes, sir. The Capital Communicators have been giving us daily news reports.
Yeah. Were you American League or National League?
I'm a National League man.
National
I'm part of
it. Yeah, that's right. There's the politician in the group. Right.
We're sorry you missed that, too.
Yes. Well, oh, you knew that, too.
You really heard that.
The rain.
The rain. Right. Well, we haven't learned to control the weather yet, but that's something we can look forward to tomorrow's challenge.
Right, right. Well, I can only summarize it because I don't want to hold you now. You have so much more to do. And see, you look great. You feel as good as you look.
Oh, you feel great. You feel just perfect, Mr. President.
Yeah. Are you? I understand you're, Frank Borman says you're a little younger by reason of having going into space. Is that right? Do you feel that way, a little younger?
We're a lot younger than Frank Borman.
There he is over there. Come on over, Frank, so they can see you. And you gonna take that line down? Or they
it looks like he has AIDS in the last couple of weeks.
Come on, Frank.
Mr. President, the one thing I wanted, you know, we have a poet in Mike Collins, and he really gave me a hard time for describing you words as fantastic and beautiful. And you were, I counted them, in 3 minutes up there, you used four fantastics and two beautifuls.
Well, just let me close off with this one thing. I was thinking, as you know, as you came down, and we knew it was a success, and it had only been 8 days, just a week, a long week. But this is the greatest week in the history of the world since the creation. Because as a result of what happened in this week, the world is bigger infinitely. And also, as I'm going to find on this trip around the world, and the Secretary Rogers will find as he covers the other countries in Asia, as a result of what you've done, the world has never been closer together before. And we just thank you for that. And I only hope that all of us in government, all of us in America, that as a result of what you've done, we can do our job a little better. We can reach for the stars just as you have reached so far from the stars. We don't want to hold you any longer. Anybody have a last word? How about promotions? Do you think we could arrange something?
Be back and very honored that you were so kind to come out here and welcome us back. And we look forward to being out of this quarantine and packing without having to go out here.
The speeches that you have to make at this dinner can be very short. And if you want to say the fantastic or beautiful, that's all right with us. Don't try to think of new and new adjectives, they've all been said.
Thank you. whole bunch for the same thing, and that's policy change in terms of climate change, because Donald Trump wants ain't nothing happening. But we all know that should be happening, right? He knows. Josh knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
Stay cozy. Stay cozy.
SOS band with SOS cover art, and of course this contains the classic Take Your Time, Parentheses, Do It Right. For those of you who understand this, it's the Heritage song. I'm really glad I found this on vinyl. It was $1, and this is very valuable to me.
swinging, I get struck. Don't turn your back black as if I'm strapped and getting bucked. Your chest or your head, I kill it with innards. But if it is dancing, brother, you remember. See, I was raised with that bro, the bullhead runner. The trick I stick with is ghetto head on.
Yeah, break out the blunts and able, make a fire, bring a peace pipe and get a stop. These fools are up, they wanna pull each other's lights out. I must admit, I used to try to let the dreads flop. My home is this, you ain't from Jersey or New York, hop. I got my hair crawling to the side of finger waves. My New York homie straight up this and call a brother gay. I ain't with that, I ain't the one, that's a bit tacky. I cut it off and rock the ball head or short and nappy. Grand Poo or EVE, you confuse yo? I look for skins and still be cruising in a 6-4. I beat you down and crack your face in a millisecond. Whoever said I had to do what I said on my records. You got a gun, you're dumb enough to tote it. I'm dumb enough to sell your crack, you're dumb enough to smoke it. Guess who? It's Uta with Becca and that mouse Mickey. Hey yo, Woody, Jabo and Dres, Mickey, Creature Dickies. Strong enough to beat your daughter, drink a cup of thunder. Brother gangster, a straight up pick up, I'm the head hunter.
Annoyed by all the loud noise and vibrations from planes departing Logan Airport, make it stop. Are you annoyed by all the loud airplanes that seem to constantly fly over on certain days? Our towns west of Boston are affected by greatly increased airplane noise and vibrations due to the FAA's, quote, highways in the sky decision. This means that on days with northwest winds, every single airplane departing Logan Airport's runway 33L continues on just four narrow paths over specific sacrificial neighborhoods with near constant noise for the humans underneath as a result. Join with your neighborhood who are trying to change this. Every complaint filed with Massport counts, but it's the first from each household that matters most. For more information, just visit logannoise.org. That's logannoise.org. A public service message from the Logan Aircraft Noise Working Group and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
rhymes and my tongue crack the mic. Let it flow and I break down with dynamite. Parties flee into a state of confusion. The musical habit that I reap is no illusion. Bass is dropped as it drums, adapt to the sound, and you get hooked like a bear trap. War for more as your neck will get sick, get set. Cause it comes sweat from your pores, spitting it out, getting it out. Working your body is out of control as you jerk it back and forth to the tune that gets hype. Your jealous suckers ain't the right type to listen and even like it. You wanna diss me, pull out your gun and pray you don't miss me. Cause I'm the kind that lives for the payback. Yo, I don't play that, so you're a stray cat creeping upon your butt just like a pit, ready to lock and kill on the first hit. Shake you until you're broke, so don't speak out. Lyrics are just like acid and they'll lick out. Burning and then you're learning a new game. Next step with a brother like me, who's insane. Give me a mic that works and I engage. Kicking a beat and wait till my DJ, and he'll change the beat to a new way, so I can jazz it up the way you love it. Oppose the man is insane, that does it. Then what I hate is a rapper that's whack and steals another style behind my back. But I'm like a cop from here to bust biter, a judge with a grudge, a crime fighter. Psych, I'm not. I break rules, another criminal on the street. Who's cool, never steal. No need to take drugs. All I did wrong was bluff. Led it to a head. Now he's dead. One counterman start is what the court said. Served 2 years in jail to make bail. Back on the street and here to cause hell. With a mic, not a gun. But the rhymes are still rough, yo, so punks run. Cause I'm killing EGO egos. With the rhymes, why? Cause it's illegal. Don't make a move if you're lame. Yo, quick, pick your trick, punk, cause I'm insane. Insane. Like a man that's locked up, grab your whole rap posse and stock up on rhyme, whatever you need. Yo, cover your ears, boy, cause they'll bleed. Trip, trip, yo, homes, I'm on a trip. Keep talking, and you rock rhymes with a fat lip. Dare me to do it, and it's done. Dial 911, I won't run. I just wait here and ignore it. Knowing if I flee, I have a warrant. I just serve my night in jail. One count of assault, that don't stale. Back on again, and I'm rhyming. Making the money, it's on time. And again, to the sucker punks, I give them pain. N-S-A-N-E, sane, crazy. When it comes a dope beat, I hope the heat makes you sleep. Cause the weak connect in the routine. A death words wanna run? I don't bully nerds, I got class. I don't need it, but take your whack DJ and just beat it. You got to the count of three, and that's all. Need some help? Here's a call and a call. Your homies, gang, even your pastor. So we can bless this hip-hop disaster. Peace from a brother you can't be tamed. And A to the M&W is insane. Insane. Insane.
are you still there?
Yes, you're on air. Hello.
Yeah, I want to hear the Don Rickles tape.
The Don Rickles tape.
Yes, you have it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. What's your name?
Dee Dee.
Hello, Dee Dee. Would you like a munchkin?
Yeah.
Right, go for it.
Please.
Go ahead.
What are you doing?
We're just recording a podcast out here.
For what?
For the radio station, WMFO.
Oh, yeah. I'm running a training for that.
Oh, really? That's cool. Yeah.
I want to have my own Russian show.
That's really cool.
Because, like, I'm from Russia and I know all the artists from there. So I want to put on the music. They sing in English and stuff, so you'll get it.
This is Parker Corey from Med Reserve, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
I'm at the foot of the ladder. The lamb footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches, although the surface appears to be very, very fine-grained as you get close to it. It's almost like a powder. Ground mass is very fine. Yeah, I'm going to step off the lamb now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. The surface is fine and powdery. I can pick it up loosely with my toe. It does adhere in fine layers, like powdered charcoal, to the sole and inside of my boot.
The time on Earth, 10:56 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. July 20th, 1969. A man has stepped on the surface of the moon. Neil Armstrong, an American, looking cumbersome in a white spacesuit, but moving easily and gracefully in the 1/6th gravity of the moon. The world watches and listens on live television, and in a little while, the second man to walk on the moon, Edwin Aldrin, comes down Eagle's Ladder.
Make sure not to lock it on my way up.
Good thought.
That's our home for the next couple hours. We want to take good care of it. Okay, I'm on the top step and I can look down over the RCU and landing gear pad. It's a very simple matter to hop down from one step to the next.
Yes, I found it to be very comfortable and walking is also very comfortable. You've got 3 more steps and then a long one.
Okay, I'm gonna leave that 1 foot up there and both hands down about the 4th rung up.
There you go.
Okay, now I think I'll do the same.
2 more. About another inch. There, you got it?
That's a good step.
Yep. About a 3-footer.
Beautiful view.
Isn't that something? Magnificent sight out here.
Magnificent desolation.
2 hours and 31 minutes will pass before the two men are back in their spaceship. And in that time, they will have a full schedule of work. Astronaut Armstrong uncovers a plaque on the lamp to mark this most historic of all moments.
For those who haven't read the plaque,